You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, he's back.
Who, hon?
Sammy, the puppy I had when I was a kid. He's right there by the couch.
Could this be related to his Parkinson's? What's Sammy doing?
Wagging his tail. He wants to play.
Stay calm. I don't see him.
You really don't?
No. But I know you do.
This is the second time this has happened. Or is it the third?
He came back to see me.
That's the part that really breaks me.
About 50% of people with Parkinson's may experience hallucinations and/or delusions over the course of the disease. That can mean seeing things that aren't real and believing things that aren't true. Symptoms can worsen over time, but are treatable. Learn more at moretoparkinsons.com. And take the screener to see if it's time to start a conversation with your doctor.
And welcome in to Willie and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game on this Thursday afternoon. I guess it's still morning. Feels like afternoon. We've been out at the Titans practice all morning. They actually went a little shorter than they have been going. But we have major breaking news. And I do mean breaking. To start the show.
Yes.
Serious injury report to the Derek Mason Ravens bobblehead. It is listed in critical condition. It appears to be foul play or an accident. I think that we're still going back through the surveillance video. But D-Mace, what has happened? What has happened here in the studio?
Well, Willie, I am here on site at 102.5 Studios, and it seems to have been an accident. What the workers are telling me is that Derek came into the studio, and somehow, some way, he hit the bobblehead, and the head just exploded. It hit the ground and exploded. Now, we're looking for evidence because we need to go back to the recording. The tape. We got to go watch the tape, you know, because we don't know if that's what really happened. So we got to go back and watch the tape. But as we sit now, Willie, it was an accident. It was an accident. There was no foul play. No foul play whatsoever. There doesn't seem like there was forced entry. So it just seems like.
But there is an injury.
But there is an injury. He has a skull fracture. His ear fell off. He has tissue coming out of his head. But we managed. The surgery lasted. Oh, man, it was a long surgery. Surgery lasted about 15 seconds. And
I would say there was more than 15 seconds.
About 25.
Yeah.
25, yeah. 30. But I'm a good surgeon. You know, they brought in the best surgeons in the world.
So you injured the bobblehead,
yes.
Your own bobblehead, and you did
no
surgery
foul play.
On your own bobblehead.
Yeah. No foul play.
No
good
foul
thing,
play, we don't think.
Good
I
thing I am
it.
A cranium doctor. Only on bobbleheads.
Not to be confused with Dr. Crane.
Yes.
This is cranium. But the first thing I saw when I walked in is the uniform, the purple jersey of the Ravens, and a big spring with no head, with the bobblehead.
What happened?
His head fell off.
Pretty much so.
Yeah, it's off.
So this is anywhere from, they said, 10 to 15 weeks.
Okay. My next question was going to be, can you reattach the bobblehead?
That's
so
what we're
right
working
now,
on.
Now, the skull, has been repaired. There's a lot of tape involved.
Yes.
But now he can't appear. It doesn't appear to be able to straighten his head up. It's like a side. It's almost like, you know. You look at me funny. You know, when you turn your head to the side.
Yeah, it's like one of those, you know, when a dog hears something,
yeah.
Hear a noise, they turn their head. Yeah, that's like. But this is not permanent. This is not permanent.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not permanent. What happened is, I said it was 12 to 15 weeks, but that depends on whether you know, the next spring heals or not, heals properly. He's on neck rest for the next 2 months, two, three
Wait,
months.
Hold on, let go of the.
See, it's getting there now. He has a slight.
He's got
tilt.
A light lean.
Yeah, to the left. He got a light lean to the left, people. Yeah. So, but we did what we need to do. Long surgery.
Okay. So what happened? I mean,
I'm over there. You know what?
Because I have taken out. I did murder the Scott Hartnell.
I think it was UC Soros. I think it was Soros. I think Soros did it.
Soros did it?
I think he did, man. I'm blaming this on Soros, man. I think he did. I think he nudged him with his hockey stick.
Okay. So you were not involved in the contact?
I don't think I was. I don't. Have you ever seen the movie Toys? Little Soldiers or Toy Soldiers. Have you ever seen that movie?
No.
It was an old movie. Came out of like late 90s, early 2000s. Might have been late 90s. But the things come to life. The little toys
okay,
come to life.
Okay.
They're from the planet Gogar or something like that. So, yeah, they came to life and UC Soros got mad and knocked me down.
So you think it was sabotage?
Yeah, I think it was a sabotage.
Well, a few years
that's
ago,
why we
I got.
To, that's why we need to go back to the tape.
I took out a Scott Hartnell bobblehead back in the day, and we had to call Scott and apologize because there was no repairing it. It shattered. It was gone.
See, this one, I did a good job at repairing it. I really did.
Yeah, I'm stunned what you've been able to do.
Yeah. Now, still
I'm
have
not
a slight
sure
hole in
I'm
his
not
head.
Sure he can hear anything or has any brain function, but he looks like he's... Because it was ugly.
It wasn't pretty, people. But I managed to put the head back together. So he's on a road to recovery. 12 to 15 weeks.
So we're glad to report that he is in stable condition now, we think?
He's in stable condition. Yeah, it was touch and go for a minute there. He's in stable condition now. We're praying for a speedy recovery. That's what we're doing. Yeah.
What a way to start the show. I'm telling you, that was tough to come in here and just see a shattered head of D-Mace.
Yeah,
and,
I started to
and
cry.
And just a spring, a body with no head.
I started to cry, Willie. Like, man.
it was a serious, you know, serious situation.
The Marvel movies like Spider-Man, you hear the woman scream, oh, no, and you turn around. She's like, what happened? Boom, that's what happened. Mm-hmm. Like, you didn't see the accident. You just saw the afterthought of all that. You're just like, oh, no.
Yeah, pretty much so.
It was tough. All right, so we were out at the practice today. They went a little shorter. We're going to play you what happened after practice. Brian Callahan, who, I'll tell you what, you could put together a long list of things that Callahan does different than his predecessor. But I do think I enjoy listening to him talk football. It's not combative. It is very engaging. He gives as much detail as he can. The questions today were really good, and we uncovered a few things we're going to tell you about when we play it here in a second. But so, D-Mace, anything jump out at you when you were watching? There were some interceptions today.
There were some interceptions, strong, but, I mean, that's part of practice. You know, the defense held their own today. There was nothing, at least while I was there, that was spectacular. I think... you know, the offensive line and the defensive line, they both had their share of, you know, dominance or doing a good job. There might have been more sacks called, if indeed it was a game, today than I think almost any other day. They were just getting pressure up front, whether it was the first team or the second team. And I'm starting to worry about that right side of the offensive line. You know, right now, because of the retirement, now it's, you know, really, it's almost by default. You got Nicholas as your starter at this point, I believe. And then after that, they're sort of playing, you know, musical chairs. Who's going to solidify that second spot? But I just think it's by default now. If I think they have an opportunity to, you know, once things sort of clear out for other rosters, they may have an opportunity to upgrade this offensive line, which I think they will do. Because right now, I mean, the left side is getting better, but the right side, they still hadn't solidified who's going to be their starters. Like, I know by default it's Nicholas because he had a retirement, and then, you know, it's just not the guys that you put over there. Who Joku, he's, I don't think he's a tackle, at least not a starting tackle in this league. So if Nicholas doesn't work out or you don't see an improvement in Nicholas, I mean, man, I don't know what they're going to do unless they just wait until guys are cut at the end of camp and then try to replace it that way.
You'll hear this in a moment. We're going to play you what Brian Callahan had to say about the offensive line. He said he's pleased with the progress, but there is a lot of room to improve. He did pay special attention today to Peter Skoronski. He thinks Skoronski has done an outstanding job. He's had a great camp. He thinks that given the circumstances of Nicholas Petit-Frere having so much time off and so much missed time in the techniques of the new system, the teaching, that he's doing well under – but he concedes, look, all that missed time is a factor. So he's still playing catch-up. They're excited to see him play. And then the right guard now, which has been shaken up with the retirement of Sadiq Charles – it looks to me like they're giving Dylan Radins every chance to win that spot. That's what it looks like to me. But time will tell. So let's do this, Nick, because Brian Callahan actually likes to speak to the media. It's a little bit longer than a Mike Vrabel one, not to mention any former coaches. But it is interesting also when the coach is an offensive coach. Mm-hmm. So the answers about the offense are more detailed. So let's take the break a little bit early. We'll come back and play you in its entirety, Brian Callahan, at the podium today. They are ready to go. All of the padded practice has happened now, and the next time you'll see them in pads is Saturday in the stadium against the 49ers. So they will be in action, and the starters will play in that game. He'll tell you the details of that when we come back. A couple of texts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben says, if you need a replacement, D-Mace, $99 on eBay.
Oh.
For Ravens, Derek Mason, Bob. I'm actually
$99. That's a good price.
That's good value.
I thought it would be lower than that.
Yeah, maybe you can get a deal with somebody. Yeah. But you got a couple extras, because that just in case doesn't pull through.
I got a few extras. They're in the they're boxed away, but I got a few extra ones. So I'm not too worried about it. But I'm mad UC Soros. You know,
Tommy. Speaking of that, Tommy says Soros must have said, "Get this dirty rat bird out of here." Spoken like a true Titan Nashville
exactly.
fan. Matt from Canada says the movie you're thinking of, maybe Small Soldiers?
Small Soldiers or Toy Soldiers, one of the two.
Hair Metal Henry says on the text line, I think D-Mace did it on purpose to collect the insurance. Is that more than the $99 for the eBay? Then you really come out ahead, listen, if that's the case.
No.
If you get double that, then you can go on eBay and buy two.
Yeah, you're probably right. But I, you know, I took out that insurance policy 3 years ago, okay? Don't bring the insurance policy into this, okay?
Coy in Clarksville suspects that it might have been Jared Stillman that knocked it over.
It could have been. He might have sabotaged it after he left the studio. He put it right on the edge, right next to UC Soros, knowing that UC would turn and knock it off.
We'll have to see if... Jared has an alibi a little bit later. But
I'm
he
sure
did
he
do the show in studio yesterday.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
So we'll have to go back and look at the surveillance video. Gator Tim says the Titans are screwed if they have to wait for camp cuts to find starters on the O-line. I would tend to agree. I hope that they are happy enough with what they have in camp. But we'll see. When we come back, we will play you the Titans coach. The last press conference before you see them in game action, preseason game. And we'll get the game plan. A lot of detail here, so listen for yourselves, and then we'll break it down. Jonathan Hutton's going to join us at noon today. We've got a lot of good stuff on the show. This is Willie and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game.
Da-da-da. Happy Thursday, everyone. This is Derek Mason. You heard me tell you about Dr. Lodge and his staff at Cool Springs MD for some time now. If you set out to lose weight, chances are it's not your first time setting a resolution to shed some extra pounds, only to come up a few pounds short. Okay, so at Cool Springs MD, Dr. Lodge and his team understands the frustration of this cycle. And that is why they offer a different approach to you losing weight, okay? It's their comprehensive weight loss program led by Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and addresses the root cause of weight gain, because there are a lot of reasons why we all gain weight. And that's why at the end of the year or during the year, we want to get it off our bodies. And the way that he does it is with like this, with a tailored nutrition, people. Exercise, you got to get your exercise in. Blood test is key. Blood test supplements and more. They will customize a program specific to you. So connect with Dr. Jeffrey Lodge at CoolSpringsMD.com to schedule your appointment for a personalized weight loss plan just for you. That's Cool Springs MD, where your weight loss journey becomes a success story.
We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Let's take it out to Titans training camp, and let's hear the post-practice press conference of head coach Brian Callahan.
And play some part of that game. As far as injuries go, that's new. Leroy Watson had a small knee issue. He's week to week. He'll be out for the game. Cedric Gray had a shoulder, did not practice today. He's questionable to play in the game. We'll see what the next couple days bring for him. Caleb Farley is out with a hamstring. He'll likely be out for a few weeks. JoJo Doman had a low back issue yesterday. He sat today. He's questionable for the game. We'll see again, like Cedric, what the next couple days bring for him for the game. Other than that, the playtime plan for the preseason game against the 49ers is our ones will play to start the game. They'll all dress. They'll all play. Like to let them go roughly a series or two, depending on how those series go. And then those guys will be out from the lineup, and the rest of the guys will take over from there. So you will see our ones outside of Jeffrey and Harold on defense, and the guys that have been out will be out. So there's no change in those guys' status. They will also be out. And then we'll play a little football. Can't wait. With that, I'll let you guys fire away.
What do you want to see out of the first team offense that they've been out here working, obviously, against the defense? What do you want to see out of them as they go against a different team?
Yeah, I would like to see a good operation, in and out of the huddle, no issues with the play clock, no sloppiness in terms of getting lined up and knowing where to go. It's a chance for them for the first time to operate in a stadium, you know, without coaches standing around, everyone's on the sidelines. So just want to see good operation. I'd like to see us move the ball well. You know, I'd like to see us move down the field. Ideally, you'd love to get a 8-play, 10-play drive, let them feel, you know, real football for a good drive and end with a touchdown. That would be the goal. Obviously, you know, you don't just get to script it out that way. But, yeah, that would be the perfect scenario, would be to get 8 to 10 plays and score a touchdown and look sharp doing it. Other than that, you know, if things don't go great, then I'd like to see how they bounce back and respond and be able to bounce back from some negative, from some adversity early in the game. So either way, we'll get some good out of it, but looking for those guys to look sharp when they take the field.
You mentioned Stoney. Is Stoney House in a position where he can get a start?
We will hold Stonehouse from the preseason game this week. It's an ongoing conversation. I know he would like to punt in a preseason game. You know, that's sort of the last step, if you will, before he feels ready to play football. So we'll have that conversation. That is certainly on the table for him at some point before the preseason is over to get a live kick and just feel being back on the field again. So, yeah, he's been doing really well. I've been happy with where he's at. He feels good. He's been punting enough in practice. He's that part's coming along nicely. So I think we're in a good spot.
Butterfly or two for you, I don't know, maybe an extra little butterfly or two first as a head coach versus play caliber.
Yeah, sure, of course. I'm not gonna sit here and lie to you. Yeah, it's more excitement than it is a butterfly. Just to be able to take the field as the head coach, the Tennessee Titans, for the first time in a game action and calling plays. And that's a huge part for me and for our staff is, you know, this is a preseason for us too. And we got to iron out communication and from our game management people upstairs to the coaches on the field to how the flow is going to work on both sides of the ball for me, jumping back and forth and calling the plays, it's going to be really good for me. I'm excited about that part, but that's the beauty of the preseason is we get three shots to iron it all out before it counts for real. So I'm really excited. Like I said, probably more excitement than butterflies necessarily, but I can't wait.
How much you'd like to see Mason and Malik, or is the game dictate that a little bit?
No, I'd like to see a lot of them. You know, I'd like to see both of them play well. There'll be a point where we'll probably let those guys kind of flip flop so they each get a fair shot with the, you know, the twos or the threes. They'll kind of take some turns. What this game will be pretty straightforward. Probably the next two, we'll get some more kind of mixed match of reps so they can showcase themselves well, and they both get an equal opportunity too. So those guys are both going to play. They're going to play quite a bit. They're going to play a lot in the preseason. It'll be good for both of them, and I'm excited to watch those guys play as well.
First team, I'll only get a drive or two. Is the plan to script those drives, or are you going to kind of call it to get more
field? Script is a loose term, you know, early on. We'll have some openers, some early calls that I think that I'll have conversations with Will over the next 2 days about the things that he feels really good with, comfortable with, executing, calling, all that stuff. So to some degree, it will have some script feel. It won't be like a normal regular season game where you're doing the first 15 and all that stuff. It'll be a little bit different than that, but there will be some semblance of an opener's script for our guys so they kind of know what's coming and what we're trying to get done.
Mentioned T'Vondre Sweat yesterday. Where have you seen him improve the most throughout training camp?
He's getting so much better understanding blocking schemes, how to defeat blocks. It's not just him using his big body just to win physically. Now you're starting to see him settle in and understand his role in the defense and where he fits in the run game and the pass rush. That part's been really cool. He's made a ton of plays over the last two practices. I think he just continues to get better at a rapid rate. And so that's exciting. I'm excited about that. He's done a really nice job. Obviously guys his size, you know, you're always worried about, you know, playing 5, 6, 7 plays in a row. So the conditioning part is kind of an ongoing process to be ready to go play a drive and not have to come out very often. So that's sort of the goal for him is to be in shape to play 10 plays and, you know, hopefully not 10 plays, hopefully it's 3, but that's kind of where we're headed with him.
Philosophy on that. There are a lot of defensive coaches, defensive line coaches, who think that there's a limit to how many guys can play, any guy, before they're diminishing returns.
And that's correct. I think that's the overall philosophy is correct. Where you want guys to be fresh for the course of a season, so you do need to be able to rotate. He's not going to play every snap of every game, just like Jeff won't. But when they got to bow up and play and be in shape, they got to be ready for that role. But certainly the division of labor amongst the D-line is an important component to keeping guys fresh and making sure they're not playing too many snaps. So there always is going to be a rotation.
Is there a general number of consecutive plays?
I think for like a preseason game, I think you want to see him play a lot. In general, you're probably talking 4 or 5 plays at most. Most guys play in a row. And there's some guys that are freaks that can play longer. But for the most part, that 4 to 5 play, and then obviously situationally, the third down, second and longs where you're rushing the passer, it might change. So, you want to keep them as fresh as possible.
What do you feel like the right side of the line is right now? Are you happy with where they are, or do you want some more improvement?
I think I'm content with what we've seen so far, but I think we need to see more improvement too. I think it's twofold. I think Nick, coming off the a long layoff from the spring into now, has done a nice job. I think he's continuing to get better. He missed a ton of work in the offseason technique-wise that he's sort of catching up to. He's done a nice job, but I think we still need to get better there. I think Dylan stepped in and done a nice job. But, you know, I think the whole line as a whole, I think there's always room for that improvement. And those guys on the right side are no different than the left side. There's still plenty of things that JC's got to get better at as a rookie. So I don't want to single one side out over the other, and I think there's plenty of room for improvement across the board. With that being said, I am pleased with the progress we've made and where we're at with some time to go still, so that's a good thing.
Specifically with, though, like Peter Skoronski, who, mm-hmm. when you don't talk about him a lot, maybe that's a good thing, and he seems to have taken a next step this year, and he says he feels good with the weight he's put on, too.
Yeah, he looks really good. He's had a really nice camp so far. I've been very pleased with where he's at. Again, there's plenty of things that technique-wise that he can keep getting better at, but what he's shown so far is what I would have expected for a player of his caliber. And he's settled in pretty nicely. He's starting to get more and more comfortable within the scheme, within the techniques, and that part's been good to see. I think his size looks good. He looks strong. He's powerful. So I'm pleased with where he's at.
What do you with rookie like Martin Robinson, who's made plays out here, how much do you look forward to these opportunities to see if it really translates?
Yeah, it's a huge part. You know, those guys that play, you know, you're playing against another team, a different scheme. To see guys produce in the game is can they take it from practice to game? Do they still show up when you're playing real football? And that's for every position. But certainly tight ends have an opportunity to – they get catch and run opportunities. You get to see them really block when guys are trying to tackle the backs, and it's just you get a much better feel for where those guys are at. So really critical for those young tight ends this game is, all these preseason games are, to see what we've seen on the field is who they are in a game. And that's – you know, that's an important part of it, is can you translate it into game time? So I'm excited to see that.
For Luke Gifford today, and are you a little thin inside?
What's that?
A good day for Gifford today, and are you a little thin inside? Are you okay numbers-wise there?
I think we'll be okay numbers-wise. Again, none of the guys that missed today are considered anything long-term, and hopefully both be ready for the game. So, it's good to see Luke. Luke made an unbelievable play in 7-on-7. I thought Will put a good ball out there, and I didn't know Luke could jump that high. He kind of got off the ground pretty good to go get that ball, which was good to see. I think those young linebackers are coming along too. All the guys, they're getting more comfortable in the scheme. They're learning how to play more. So that's another group along with those young tight ends, and I'm excited to see what it looks like for real when they're actually being able to get cut loose and hit and tackle.
What have you been seeing from the edge rushers beyond Harold and Arden, the guys that maybe part of that rotation mm-hmm. or will have to step up once Arden's
gone? Yeah, I think the one guy I have to single out that's been fantastic is Jalen Harrell. He has come in and done everything right. And that's a big step for a young player. And then he's actually shown real ability to rush. And so, again, he's another player in a live action. We'll see if it translates to what it's looked like on the practice field. But I've been really impressed with what he's done so far. He's been physical as an outside linebacker. He's shown rush ability. He's made plays when he's had opportunities to make plays. So everything about Jalen has been really, really exciting. So put him on the list of guys that I'm excited to go watch play on Saturday.
You made a comment over the weekend about how this team will run the football.
Mm-hmm.
And with the two different running backs that you have, as opposed to giving it to one guy 28 times, how do you envision getting both backs in rhythm so that you can continuously run the football the way you want?
Yeah, that's a good question. Generally speaking, you try to find, you know, when you go into a game, you highlight a handful of plays that they like, you know, the they're both different style runners. Tajay has plays that he likes. Tony has plays that he likes. And so you sort of star those plays and you put their names on them. And so when you call those, you make sure that they get those carries that they feel good about. So that's how you naturally split the labor in the running back room. And then sometimes when a guy starts feeling it, you can see a guy feel it, you just keep giving it to him. You know, keep giving him opportunities to carry it. We're going to use those guys plenty all across the formation in the pass game and in the run game. So they're fun tools to have, because they can do so many different things. But the biggest key is just making sure that you get them the run, especially early in the game, that you divide it up the way that they feel good and you kind of see who gets hot. You can stick with a hot hand or you can just stay with your rotation as far as the runs that they've sort of selected and we've talked about as the ones being their comfort zone for the running back. So that's probably the best way I can explain that process.
So some really good detail there on how he intends to use Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears. And the first thing that jumps to me, D-Mace, after we listen to that, is on so many of those questions, we got so much more insight mm-hmm. than we would have gotten with his predecessor. This is nothing against Mike Vrabel. It's any coach's choice how much they want to talk to the media about. But I really think it helps us understand what they're trying to do mm-hmm. with that. I don't think he's doing anything that's going to give the other team an advantage. Oh, they're going to use both Pollard and Spears.
Well,
like, I think people know that, right?
Yeah.
But so what did you think about how he wants to use the running backs there? Anything like that? Like, I love the idea of you take each back because they both look very similar. Mm-hmm. They both had some really nice moments today at practice. But the plays that they like are the plays that you're going to give them the ball on. Mm-hmm. The other team doesn't know which plays these are, but they're going to go with plays that they really like.
Yeah, and eventually, as you start to scout teams, you get a feel for, you know, which guy does what better and how to sort of combat what they're trying to do. You know, if it's 3rd-and-3 and Tajay Spears has been out there, you know, 60% of the time, then you're preparing for Tajay Spears to be out there. Not to say they can't throw Pollard out there. But this is what I talk about all the time. Coaches putting receivers in positions, I mean, coaches putting players in positions to succeed. Calling plays, this, and again, I go back to, I think it was a good thing that this coaching staff was changed. I'm not saying that the last coaching staff was bad, because they were good. I mean, Vrabel did some damn good things here. But I think it was time with these new group of players. I just think it was time. Because when Vrabel sat there and said, we do not call plays or design plays for individuals. That's a lie, because that's what Bill Callahan, I mean, that's what Brian Callahan is doing right now. That's what he's telling you he's doing. He said we have a pocket of plays for that Spears really likes that we're going to run, and that Pollard really likes that we're going to run. We're going to find out what those plays are, and then we're going to implement them through the season. If a guy's hot, we're going to roll with them. If Tajay's hot in the passing game, we're going to roll with them. If Pollard's hot in the run game, we're going to roll with them. That's how we're going to do. Whoever's giving us the best opportunity to win on that particular down, that particular quarter, or that game, then that's who we're going with. That is a coach's job. That's what they're tasked to do. Put guys in positions to succeed. Don't tell me what he can't do. Tell me what he can do, and let's do that.
I wanted to leave a little time for you and I to be able to discuss this. We didn't play the follow-up question because, again, it's a very detailed answer. But Jared asked about run-pass balance. And in the context of in the last several years, as far back as a lot of the younger Titans fans can remember, and even if you really want to take it all the way back to the beginning of the Titans when you were part of the team, we're used to watching a run-heavy offense, a run-oriented offense.
Yes.
The run sets up the pass. It's about physicality. It's about power. It's about two tight ends a lot. Use the fullback. It's definitely a different approach. When Jared asked, what would you like the balance of the running game? Do we have that? Okay, here's the answer. Jared asked, you know, what's the right balance? Because Jared's thinking, and Jared was watching practice with you and I today, Derek, and we were having a discussion about how you could protect the quarterback and keep the defense off the field. And he was thinking, you know, do you end up running the ball more because of that? So he asked the coach, so what's the ideal balance? Listen to how he talks about not just how many times you run, how many times you pass, but using the running backs in a very versatile role.
Ideally, what percentage would you want in a perfect world of the mix between run and pass?
I mean, in a perfect world, you'd like to be probably right around 50-50. It's usually not the case, you know, down and distance-wise and all that stuff. But, yeah, that's probably the ideal. You hope to be able to marry your play-action game with your run game well enough so that teams don't really know what's coming. That can go by formation, under center, in the gun, however that looks, to make sure that we're marrying up our action game, our naked game, our boot game, and our screen game with the run game, so you kind of package it all together. You know, the reality of it is that, you know, you get into spots where we're throwing the balls a little more advantageous, and so you're going to get to places where it might be more 60-40, depending on the game. But the perfect world, ideal world, you'd love to be right around 50-50, so a defense doesn't necessarily know exactly what you're going to do in what situation.
Now, I would say in past regimes, Mike Vrabel included, definitely Jeff Fisher, perfect world was probably more 60-40 run, right?
Yeah.
At least. But perfect world is 50-50 for Callahan. So that illustrates the change in philosophy.
Yeah, I mean, every coach wants to be their ideal of balance. You know, they want to be that 50-50. But we understand, and Callahan said it, because of down and distance sometimes, time of the game, 2 minute as opposed to 4 minute, you're going to see, you know, then weather. Is it, you know, you got to factor in weather. So you try to get that balance. And you want balance because you want to keep the defense thinking. You don't want to be too heavy one way. And now the defense knows exactly what you're doing at certain times. You want to be able to balance that out. I think they're going to be, because so many years, and this is what, you know, I'm real leery of, in a sense, because we've heard this same song and dance before. You know, we want to be 50-50. We want to be more, you know, we want to throw the ball a little bit more. You know, and we got the players to do it. We've heard that. What happens when the season starts? They go more run heavy. Not to say they don't throw the football more, because if you look at the, you know, them throwing the football compared to running the football, it's always, unless you just, you know, you got a, you know, a back that is just dominating like Derrick Henry did or Chris Johnson did or Eddie George did those years, typically you're going to be heavy run anyway. That's just the way, that's just the nature of football, period. Because, again, you got 4 minutes, which a lot of teams like to slow it down and run the football. They count a sack as a run play. So you're always going to be a little bit heavy run anyway. But I think Callahan wants to try to make this I think he's going to go out of his way to try to make this at least early on to see where the team is at as far as, you know, how deep in their bag can they go in regards to their passing game. If they can go deep, and a lot of it's predicated on Will Levis and the offensive line, but if they can go deep, then you're going to see this team pass a lot more. You may not notice it, but then you look at the end of the game and like, wow, they threw the ball, you know, 70% of the time. So to me, it just depends. I think they're going to go out of their way to try to make it a little bit more pass heavy than run heavy. Now, it may change toward the end of the season, because as we know, guys get hurt, the war of attrition, weather. So it may change as the season go. But I think they're going to try to start off being that more pass heavy. They want to be more balanced to pass heavy. If you understand what I'm saying,
yes,
in regards to that. But as the season goes on, if guys are injured, then I think they will lean more toward running football.
I do think that's one thing. They need some good fortune of staying healthy if this is going to go well, because I still think depth is going to be an issue for this team, and hopefully it will be better in successive years. Next year, the year after. But I'd like to see some easy completions to help mm-hmm. Will Levis's completion percentage. So maybe some runs that have been handoffs to Derrick Henry in the past are easy completions mm-hmm. to the running backs and get them in space, which is almost like a running play. You know the completion percentage is going to be extremely high.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe old runs like that are passes, which that's what makes it more 60-40 pass.
And that's what teams are doing now.
That's more modern, yeah. Right? That's the general modern mm-hmm. way that teams go about it these days.
Quick screens, dump passes.
And hopefully those guys excel in those areas.
Exactly. In the rounds.
That was something that Derrick Henry was not good at.
Yeah, right? I mean, that wasn't his specialty. His specialty was getting the ball from the quarterback and running downhill. But those easy completions that you talked about, those swing plays, those quick screens, just regular screens to the running back, those can be substitutes for your run game. And it's not like they're going to be doing anything any different from what other teams are doing. That's what other teams are doing. Cincinnati did it a lot. So, you know, if you want to know how this Titan team can potentially look, and I'm not talking about from a personnel standpoint, because they don't have Jamar Chase, they don't have T. Higgins, and they don't have Joe Burrow, so we know it'll be a little bit different. But if you want to know how this offense will sort of try to attack people, go look at Cincinnati's offense. That's how they're going to try to attack people. But they have something that Cincinnati doesn't have, and that's two good backs. I think Mixon was good. They had P. Ron at one time, yeah. And I thought P. Ron was a tough physical back.
He was
back.
A good second
yeah.
back, I thought.
He was a
different
good
type.
Second back, yeah. But I don't think they had P. Ron last year, if I'm not mistaken. So I would say that would be the nod I would give the Titans in this scenario. I think their two backs are a little bit better, so they can do they can do a little bit more than probably what they did in Cincinnati.
When we come back, we're going to go back through a couple other things that jumped out at us during that press conference today, including Jalen Harrell, who, I'll be honest, I hadn't noticed as much, but when my eyes lit up, and I think everybody at the press conference, when the question was, what about your edge rushers beyond Harold Landry? We know the issue with Arden Key that's looming. What else have you got? He went directly to the 7th-round pick out of Michigan. We'll talk more about that when we come back here on Willie and D. Mace. Jonathan Hutton is going to join the conversation at noon here on 102.5 The Game.
Are you a little thin inside? Are you okay numbers-wise
there? I think we'll be okay numbers-wise. Again, none of the guys that missed today are considered anything long-term, and hopefully both be ready for the game. So, yeah, it's good to see Luke. Luke made an unbelievable play in 7-on-7. I thought Will put a good ball out there, and I didn't know Luke could jump that high. He kind of got off the ground pretty good to go get that ball, which was good to see. I think those young linebackers are coming along, too. All the guys, they're getting more comfortable in the scheme. They're learning how to play more. So that's another group, along with those young tight ends, and I'm excited to see what it looks like for real when they're actually being able to get cut loose and hit and tackle.
Luke Gifford, who was kind of a lesser-known linebacker, had two interceptions today at the practice, so he was kind of the talk of camp today. Took advantage, and he might have returned one for a touchdown, and boy, did the defense go wild when that happened today. But we're going to work our way into the next question, which has to do with that. Gifford is an inside linebacker who got a lot of reps today. He's a six-year veteran. He's been a special teams guy. He's been around. I don't know that he is going to be. Yeah, he's a key depth guy in the interior. But Murray, of course, has been the guy that they really hope will step up, and a guy that joined Chase and Joe earlier today. Gibbons also figures to be a starter to play a lot in there. So that next crew is that. But let's now talk about the edge rushers. Here's Terry McCormick asking about who do you got? Who's jumping out at camp that's going to get reps from the outside edge rushers, because that's a big thing for this team. They don't have Danico Autry anymore. Arden Key appears like he's going to be suspended for the first six games. You've got Harold Landry, and then who else? That's the question. Interesting answer from Brian Callahan.
What have you been seeing from the edge rushers beyond Harold and Arden, the guys that maybe part of that rotation or will have to step up once Arden's gone?
Yeah, it's I think the one guy I have to single out that's been fantastic is Jalen Harrell. He has come in and done everything right. And that's a big step for a young player. And then he's actually shown real ability to rush. And so, again, he's another player in a live action. We'll see if it translates to what it's looked like on the practice field. But I've been really impressed with what he's done so far. He's been physical as an outside linebacker. He's shown rush ability. He's made plays when he's had opportunities to make plays. So everything about Jalen has been really, really exciting. So put him on the list of guys that I'm excited to go watch play on Saturday.
So there you go. That answer surprised me. D-Mace, have you noticed Harrell much? I mean, he is a Michigan guy, so you're probably not focused on him
at
practice, you being
guy.
A Michigan State guy. But what a pleasant surprise. Now, think about how long it's been since a seventh-round pick really was a factor, especially early in his career. I think of Cortland Finnegan. I think of a guy on your Titans teams and Kevin Long, who was a rookie starting center for a Super Bowl team. But that's such a big bonus. Remember how much you guys gave me a lot of flack last year when I complained that they traded a seventh-round pick for Nick Folk? That turned out to be a pretty good trade, I think, because Folk has done well. You're like, ah, seventh-round pick, who cares? But how much of a bonus could it be if they have something here?
Well, it's a huge bonus. It's just, you know, any team that drafts a guy in the latter rounds, you know, rounds 5, 6, and 7, and, you know, because it really like the 6th and 7th round, you know, you bring those guys in and you're hoping to get a diamond in the rough. You're hoping to get that one gem that it seems like every other year one team gets, one or two teams get. And that guy ends up being, you know, a Pro Bowler or just a critical part of what you're doing in your organization, whether it be offense or defense. Now, Jalen Harrell, his father played in the NFL for a good bit, as well as the USFL. His father played in the USFL as well. This is a guy that had 6.5 sacks last season on a national championship winning team, 31 tackles. So he knows how to get to the quarterback. Now, he benefited, one would say, from that tremendous defense of Michigan's, but yet and still, he went and got his own. He went and played at a level that allowed Michigan, along with everyone else, allowed Michigan to have one of the best defenses in all of college football. So the kid has some talent. It's just how do you get the talent out of him? And how does he get noticed? Well, if the head coach is noticing you and talking about you, it's either one or two things. You're doing something really bad or you're doing something really good. And in Harold's case, it seems as if he's doing something really good. They're going to need him. He's a long guy, 6'4", 240-something. I think he ran in a four or a five. It might have been a four, high four, as far as his 40. So he has the versatility, and he has sort of the quickness and the ability to get to the quarterback. So hopefully, you know, without having Arden Key for the first six games, it hasn't been made official yet, but we believe it's coming down, you know, pretty soon here. But to not have Arden Key and a guy like Jalen Harrell stepping up, that's going to be big for the Titans, because they're going to need, not having Danico Autry there, it's going to be a loss. But if a guy like Jalen Harrell, Devontae Sweat, if those guys can come on, then the loss will be minimized. You know, sacks are great, but it's not all about sacks. You can get to the quarterback, or you can affect the quarterback in other ways.
No question, and I think of it in the big picture this way too. They are still playing big catch-up for the three empty drafts, 20, 21, 22. So the way you make up for it is if you can hit on some later round picks that surprise you in a good way, and you have a piece. So I did take note. I don't want to hype this guy up like he's the next coming of Lawrence Taylor, right? But if a question is asked about, you know, there's a bunch of guys out there, mm-hmm. right? There's guys that I can't keep track of all of them because, you know, there's still so many players in the camp at this point. But if the question is who's out there, I took note of Brian Callahan going directly to that one name. So that tells me that on the interior, the coaches are talking about him, right? They think they might have something there. So we'll see. That's a guy that now, on Saturday, that's a guy I'll be watching, right?
Yeah. This is an opportunity. And listen, all these guys are going to be a little nervous. Especially these younger guys, they need to treat it as if it is a regular season game. Because for you, it is. Because this may be your last time, one of your last times, stepping on a football field. Because even though you're on the team, you may not get an opportunity to play once the season starts. So you need to go out and prove to these coaches that, you know, what I'm doing in practice, I can also do in a game. And that is the big thing with guys like Jalen Harrell. Yes, you're doing some things during practice that we really, really like. Attention to detail, you know, you're on your P's and Q's, you got everything, you know what's going on, but it's a different ball game when those lights come on. And for whatever reason, guys tend to forget things that they got to do, or they tend to forget how to play football for a couple of plays or a quarter or half. So he's doing well in practice, but I think the true testament is going to be this Saturday, and whatever opportunity he gets, I'm sure he's going to get a huge opportunity, because to me, if the head coach is singling you out, that means he wants to get a good look at you in preseason.
Yeah, he's definitely said that. So that's a guy to keep your eye on as we move forward here in camp. When we come back, Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow is going to join us. We'll continue our Titans discussion. We'll get into some more things, the offensive line commentary. Devondre Sweat continues to dominate in practice. He is a big, big factor alongside of Jeffrey Simmons. We'll get into all of this stuff, plus some league stuff as well with D-Mace. We might even go through the wide receiver translator once or twice. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more here on 102.5 The Game.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend, because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, he's here again.
Oh, who, hon?
Sammy, the puppy I had when I was a kid.
This is the second time he's seen Sammy. Could this be related to his Parkinson's?
I don't see him, hon, but I know you do.
About 50% of people with Parkinson's may experience hallucinations and/or delusions over the course of the disease, seeing things that aren't real and believing things that aren't true. Symptoms generally worsen but are treatable. Learn more at moretoparkinsons.com and take the screener to see if it's time to start a conversation with your doctor.
This Memorial Day, shop one of Avocado's biggest mattress sales of the year and fall in love with sleep again. At Avocado, better sleep starts with better materials. Our certified organic mattresses are crafted without compromise, using high-quality organic materials that bring comfort and support into perfect balance. No polyurethane foams, no shortcuts, just a cleaner, more natural sleep experience that your body will appreciate night after night, so you fall asleep more easily, stay asleep longer, and wake up feeling refreshed and ready for the day ahead. That's sleep with purpose. This Memorial Day, discover what it means to truly sleep well. Upgrade and save up to 20% on our award-winning mattresses. Shop the Memorial Day sale now and get up to 20% off at avocadomattress.com or select retailers nationwide. Visit avocadomattress.com. That's avocadomattress.com.